Good morning. It's 6 o'clock. Thank you for joining us here on our prayer time get-together. Thank you for joining us, being a part of WHCB's support team, for helping us with your gifts to the work of WHCB. WHCB 91.5 FM is a non-commercial educational Christian broadcast service, and we do appreciate your support. We are income tax, your gifts are income tax deductible. We are listener supported. That means that people like you are touched by God and you give, and you can count your gifts against your income tax once a year when you pay your taxes, because we are a 501c3 organization. Our giving online securely situation is to go to our website, whcbradio.org, whcbradio.org. Now, for the last couple of days, we've been talking about Israel and the prophetic signs for today from Noah W. Hutchings, and we'll finish up with that today, hopefully. All of the gates that once surrounded the temple and much of the city of Jerusalem are now open, except for one. It's called the Eastern Gate, or the Golden Gate. It was sealed by Suleiman the Great in the 15th century to keep Jews and Christians from going into the temple area to pray. Of course, now they declare there was no, that is, the Muslims declare there was no temple on the Temple Mount, which is sort of interesting. Why would you call it the Temple Mount when you, well, anyway. But previously, there was an Eastern Gate that was torn down during the wars for the city. This was the gate that Jews would have gone through when staying with Mary and Martha in Bethany. Jesus would have gone that way. He would have come over the mountain, gone through the Garden of Gethsemane, and then through that gate, the Eastern Gate, into the temple area. As I mentioned, it was also called the Golden Gate and the Gate Beautiful. Nobody knows why it's not been opened, since it was sealed by Suleiman 500 years ago. The Bible indicates that because Jesus entered by this gate, it would be sealed until he comes again. And yet, the Muslims sealed it, not the Jews. And God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 1 through 3, "Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, This gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord, he shall enter by the way of the porch of the gate, and shall go out by the way of the same." One of the other prophetic signs in Israel is the war, actually wars plural, in Israel. When Israel became a nation in 1948, again, the new country had a small army. It was surrounded by hostile nations, much larger armies. General George Marshall of the U.S. warned Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion that if Israel declared itself a nation, again, that five superior Arab armies would march in, and 72 hours there would not be a Jew left alive in Israel. But you know, General George C. Marshall might have been very smart, but God had said something totally different. In Zechariah 12:6, "In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem." Five Arab armies did invade Jerusalem, did invade Israel immediately after May 14th, 1948. But to the amazement of the world and to the amazement of General George Marshall, Israel won the war as the Bible predicted. And then, of course, there have been many other wars that have been won by Israel in much the same fashion, God himself winning the war for them. There's also the prophecy of increasing rainfall. We touched on this earlier. The traditional rainy seasons in Israel during Bible times were called the former rains in November and December, and the latter rains in the late winter and early spring months. After AD 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed and the remainder of the Jews were sold to be slaves by the Romans, the rainfall in Israel began to decrease, adding to the desolation of the nation or desolation of the region. However, God promised that once Israel was back in the land, he would restore them to the full measure of both the former and the latter rains. Joel chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 23. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain, in the first month. Since Israel became a nation in 1948, the rainfall has almost doubled. And it was prophesied that Israel would be a democracy. Israel, since the time of the judges, was ruled by a monarch, by a king. But it was prophesied that the nation, when it was restored in the last days, the government would be ruled by governors, leading us to believe it would be a democracy. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, The inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, like a torch of fire in a sheaf. They shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand, on the left. Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. As prophesied, Israel today is a democracy and will remain so until Jesus Christ returns to rule from Jerusalem as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There will be no king for Jesus Christ to remove from the throne because there is no king on the throne now in Israel. There's one more that Dr. Hutchings wrote about in his Prophetic Observer, and I really would like to share it with you. But I don't have time today, so if you will indulge me tomorrow, Lord willing, we will try to share that with you. It's called Jewish Unbelief, and I think it's well worth your time to understand that prophetic situation and its importance. Now, let's go to prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that you pronounce prophecy and you execute prophecy. You make sure that it happens because you propose it and you dispose it. And we thank you for that. Father, we love you. We can't make that plain enough. We need you. We can't make that plain enough either. We depend upon you for all things, for our breath, for our life, for everything that we can do, we depend upon you, Lord, and we thank you. Now we ask you to meet the needs of these dear folks today as they're praying and as they're working with us and as they want to see your word go forth, and we do too. We pray, Lord, that you would do for us what we can't do for ourselves, which is most everything. And we ask you to receive the honor and glory, for you alone are worthy. We pray for your provision. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.